Welcome to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. The Delaware General Assembly reconvenes next week, and 1 week later, Matt Meyer will be sworn in as Delaware's next governor. Together, one issue they need to tackle is education. But in fact, addressing education really requires working on a myriad of issues and topics simultaneously. Education funding, teacher pay, and school climate are just a few of the areas Governor Meyer and state lawmakers will be delving into in the coming months. What are their priorities? Which direction could they go? And perhaps most importantly, how quickly can they move? Those are some of the questions contributor Larry Nightingale seeks to answer in his latest piece, available at DelawarePublic.org. Larry sat down with several lawmakers and examined Matt Meyer's positions to assess the state of play on education in Delaware, and he joined me earlier this week to discuss what he learned. So let's start with the fact that education was front and center during the 2024 election, but now as we move past that, how likely is it it's going to stay at the top of the agenda in 2025? And given the number of issues and their complexity, is it realistic to expect quick action from the governor and state lawmakers?
Well, as for top of the agenda, definitely yes, because there's so much going on and so much of it cannot be ignored. As for quick action, not necessarily. Some of these issues are going to require legislative decisions this year, but the timelines for perhaps the two biggest issues of all, school funding and finally some redistricting for Wilmington schools, indicate that there's going to be plenty of talk this year, but no big votes until 2026, and in all likelihood, no actual action until 2027.
So let's roll through some of the issues you highlight in your piece. First up, one we've talked about a lot, education funding. We've reported previously on the Public Education Funding Commission how its timetable may not be as aggressive as initially planned. Where do things stand now, and how could a Governor Matt Meyer influence how this issue plays out?
Well, the commission, as you know, hit a snag in its first two meetings. It was sort of a standoff between those who want to move forward on enacting much of a report that called for creating a new funding system, one that would involve possibly spending up to $1 billion more a year in the process, and those who merely want to tweak the system, a system that was created just after the end of World War II. Now, members of the commission want to better understand their options before they decide what their next move is going to be. So Senator Laura Sturgeon, the commission chair, is going to introduce legislation in the next couple of weeks that would extend the commission's deadlines. In other words, more study this year with recommendations back to the General Assembly in 2026. As for the new governor's role, Matt Meyer has been outspoken in his support for big-time funding reform, but he controls the appointment of only two of the commission's 31 members. So for Meyer to get his way, he is going to have to keep funding reform front and center this year as he goes around the state. And he's also going to have to be very persuasive with the legislature next year when we start tabulating how much a funding reform is going to cost and who's going to be picking up the tab.
So another issue that seems ripe for action is redistricting. Wilmington schools take Christina School District out of the city. How close is that to happening?
It's getting closer. The Reading Consortium, which is the panel that was created by the General Assembly about 5 years ago to make recommendations on Wilmington redistricting and on a number of other education equity issues, decided last year that there should be, quote, no more than two districts serving Wilmington. Now, the simple solution, it seems to many, would be to take the Colonial District out and somehow split the Christina and Colonial students between Red Clay and Brandywine. You know, Colonial does have a small portion of the city as well. But there are other permutations, including the possibility of returning to a Wilmington-only district, like we had before 1978, or the possibility of a larger northern Newcastle County district, like we had from 1978 to 1981. As with funding reform, there's going to be lots of talk within the consortium this year with recommendations for the General Assembly to consider in 2026. And then after they do that, you've got to get into the real nuts and bolts of things, setting up attendance zones, adjusting the financials as these district borders are moved, moving personnel. So don't expect any actual movement of students until we get to, say, the 2027-2028 school year.
So while we're on the topic of the Christina School District, it has been plagued by school board dysfunction, faces a lawsuit of removal of its superintendent, and has a tax referendum on the horizon. Do lawmakers have an appetite to jump in here and deal with problems in Christina?
Well, I would say it's not so much an appetite as it is a real need. The concept of local control of the schools is sacred in Delaware, but more than 60% of a school district's budget comes from the state. So the state has a real interest in making sure that its money is being used properly and it's being managed by school boards and administrators who haven't run off the rails. Legislators from the Christina District are preparing a package of bills to address some of the issues that are affecting Christina now, but it's not clear what a majority of the General Assembly is going to be willing to sign off on. Local control advocates would like to give districts a chance to solve their own problems before the state intervenes. And if there is intervention, what could it be? Would it be a panel to investigate? Would it be some form of temporary state oversight? Would it be an actual state takeover of the districts? Some action is likely because no one wants Christina's issues to continue to fester. And on top of that, whatever the lawmakers decide to do should also be something that would work if some other district goes sideways at some point in the future.
How about another issue, Larry, that many districts face, and that's enrollment and capacity issues. And a topic that also comes up a lot with those issues, and that is district consolidation. Could enrollment and capacity issues force a more serious discussion about consolidation of Delaware's 19 school districts?
Well, you know, again, the reform advocates and some lawmakers say we really need some serious discussion on these topics. But these issues have been kicked down the road from Claymont as far as Del Mar for close to 20 years. You know, the finance reform discussion will have to address whether to use buildings that are significantly under capacity, and as well as efficiency and resource allocations for smaller districts, especially the ones that are downstate. The Wilmington redistricting, which we just mentioned, is going to inevitably fuel some talk of other possible consolidations. So, bottom line here, loyalty to districts and to individual schools often make capacity and consolidation discussions into emotional issues. But these topics can't be ignored when we get into these larger discussions about funding and administrative efficiency.
Enrollment and capacity have certainly been affected by a quarter century of school choice and charter schools in Delaware. In terms of charter schools, at least, it's been relatively quiet recently. Is there any reason to think that that's going to change? Are we going to see any more things rise to the top of the agenda when it comes to school choice and charters?
Well, you know, on charters, you know, there's no going back. I mean, they're an established part of the public school landscape now. They're not an educational panacea. I mean, for the most part, achievement levels at the schools is a reflection of the demographics of their student bodies, just as in the traditional public schools. But we can expect discussion of some tweaks in charter regulations and in financing, too, which is one of the topics of that Education Funding Commission. But nothing really major here. Now, the same goes for choice. It's been around for nearly 30 years, and it's not going to go away. But we're really going to have some more talk about addressing some accessibility issues, things like bus transportation, that make it harder for some kids to take advantage of their choice options.
Teachers are also on the minds of many lawmakers, whether it's their pay or making sure they have the right tools and leadership to succeed. What can we expect on this front moving forward?
Well, no, a committee that's been studying teachers' pay wants to raise starting salaries to $60,000 a year by 2026. Meyer thinks that certain high-performing teachers should be paid $100,000 a year. Now, there's general agreement that pay and working conditions must be improved in order to combat a growing shortage of teachers in the state. Now, there's also a lot of talk about empowerment, giving principals more control over their buildings and teachers more autonomy in their classrooms. Meyer is also suggesting better training and professional development for teachers, not to mention loan forgiveness programs as an incentive for teachers to stay in their classrooms. Bottom line here, Meyer and the General Assembly are going to have to work together, decide how to handle compensation issues, but granting teachers, principals and teachers more autonomy is actually going to be something that school boards and local superintendents are going to have to decide.
Part of the classroom discussion, though, has to also include school climate and discipline. Where do things stand on that front?
Well, you know, again, I looked at Meyer's education plan and also at last fall's report from the General Assembly's Committee on School Climate. Now, neither document recommended suspending or expelling disruptive students or putting more hall monitors or police in the schools. Rather, both documents are pretty strong on creating what Meyer calls supportive and nurturing environments. They're essentially on the same page in terms of things like needing more parental engagement, more counselors, more training, better support systems, things like that. Now, these aren't individually high-cost items, but they are suggestions that can easily fall towards the bottom of priority lists as other topics rise to the top.
One other issue, Larry, that we've heard a lot about is pre-K and perhaps a push for universal pre-K in Delaware. Is that in the cards?
Well, again, Meyer wants all the children in the state to have access to pre-kindergarten programs by the end of his first term. He also wants to address a statewide shortage of affordable, high-quality child care. But his plan also says this: these are expensive per-child investments. Now, in terms of the likelihood of these things happening, maybe that quote is all that we have to need to know.
It often comes down to the bill, absolutely. Larry, we've talked a bit previously about Matt Meyer's role in school funding in there and just talking a little bit about pre-K, but I want to ask more broadly about his potential influence on this overall issue of education. How big a role can his role be? And is a Governor Meyer likely to be much different than a Governor Carney was, or what a Governor Hall Long or Governor Ramon might have been?
Well, you know, going by Carney's record and by Meyer's campaign promises, the answer is yes, Matt Meyer is going to be different. Carney's main education initiative was launching the Wilmington Learning Collaborative. He said very little about the American Institute for Research's school funding report, which Meyer has strongly endorsed. Bethany Hall Long largely followed Carney's script on education. Mike Ramone really didn't offer many groundbreaking ideas in his campaign. So you can expect that Meyer is going to be somewhat different than the others. However, straying a little bit more into the pure politics for the moment, in New Castle County, Matt Meyer worked with an overwhelmingly Democratic county council. In Dover, while Democrats also control the legislature, there's a lot more factionalism and there's a lot more geographic diversity. To get his education initiatives approved, Meyer is going to have to face a lot more challenges as governor than he did as county executive.
So, Larry, as we wrap this up, you've covered education for some time now. Based on your conversations pulling together this story, are you more or less optimistic Delaware will actually see significant change on education in these coming years?
Well, I thought about this for a while, and I'm going to be less optimistic. I mean, let me give you some comparisons here based on my experiences. You know, in the 1970s, I was writing about a school desegregation lawsuit. It was a lawsuit that Lewis Redding, whose name pops up very often in discussion of Delaware history, Lewis Redding was in the courtroom for this case. But, you know, since then, since the 1970s, we've had desegregation. Then we had resegregation. And now we've got a discussion that could possibly lead to a Wilmington-only school district, just like the 1970s. In the 1970s, I was writing about school finance issues. 50 years later, the system has gotten more complicated, but it hasn't gotten any better. In the 1970s, I covered Wilmington school board meetings where a parent advocate struck a school board member and protesters hurled eggs at another school board member at a different meeting. Today, we've got dysfunction that's known as the Christina Board of Education. In the 1970s, Delaware ranked among the top 10 states in national school assessments and for achievement. Today, it's in the bottom 10. So, after 53 years, I've got less reason to be optimistic. But, as usual, there's a but for me. As bleak as some things may seem, we've got a new governor, we've got some thoughtful education reformers in the General Assembly, and we've got some strong education advocates throughout the state. Maybe it is time for some real change, and I hope so.
Thanks to contributor Larry Nagengast for his time this week. His piece on how Governor-elect Matt Meyer and state lawmakers plan to tackle education issues in Delaware is available at DelawarePublic.org. One note, this is Larry Nagengast's final piece as a Delaware Public Media contributor as he heads off into a well-deserved retirement. We want to thank Larry for all the reporting he's done for DPM over some 12-plus years. his commitment to producing high-quality journalism for us, illuminating a variety of key issues in the First Eight, has been invaluable. We'll miss him and his work, but wish him all the best in retirement. Thank you, Larry. Next up on The Green, a look at what's fueling Delaware's growing sports tourism industry. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.